Hi, welcome to Fresh from the Hill. My name is Joseph, and I'm one of the hosts of the CLAS series from the Cornell Latino Alumni Association. In this series, we're going to have conversations with alumni, as well as dive into the history of CLA and Day Hall. I want to ground us with who CLA is. The Cornell Latino Alumni Association was founded in 1994 and is comprised of a very broad and diverse community of students and alumni who are Latin American, who come from the Caribbean, Latin America, and Europe. Latinos at Cornell comprise 15% of the total alumni population. And Latinos have been at Cornell since the root. In the first graduating class at Cornell, there were Brazilian students. And with that, I'll pass it on to our other host, Ketty.
Thank you so much, Joseph. Hi, my name is Ketty Maria Esquivel, and I am Vice President for CLA and co-chair of the Programming Committee. And we would love for you to get involved with CLA and with events that we're doing over the course of the rest of the year. On October 12th, we have a Hispanic Heritage wine tasting event in New York. On November 16th through the 17th, we have a Day Hall commemoration, which is going to be at Cornell University. Some of the panels are going to be happening at Willard Strait Hall, and then we're also going to be doing the reenactment and wrapping up the day with a café con leche at the LLC. And this is being done with CLA in partnership with student leaders on campus. And then the third event we'd like to highlight is CALC, which is happening actually in the new year, February 23rd to 25th, 2024 in Baltimore. I'd like to pass it over to my fellow host, Freddie, to talk to you a little bit more about events that we've done in the past and also how people can engage.
Thank you, Ketty. Hey, everyone. My name is Freddie Terrazas Escamilla. I'm an at-large board member for CLA and really happy and excited to be speaking with all of you today. So how can you engage with CLA? There's a variety of ways. Obviously, you can always reach out to us via email. Thankfully, our net IDs haven't changed since we've graduated. You can reach out to us through Cornell Connect and iModules. And of course, we have a broad social media presence. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. We put out a newsletter every single month, and we are really looking forward to getting to know each and every one of you. And really welcome you to this series that we're excited to be putting on with Cornell. For those of you that aren't aware of some of the stuff that we've done in the past, our board members are scattered across the country where we do events, both in our community and across different parts of the regions that Latinos are really concentrated across the United States. Some of the things that we've done in the past is held events in different parts of the cities across the United States where we bring together like-minded individuals that want to have conversations around diversity, equity, and inclusion, really think about what it is to be a Latino, a Latina in today's day and age. Many of us participate in recruitment events as it relates not just to coordinated activities by Cornell, but a lot of the activities that relate to new Latinos and Latinas coming into Cornell. And of course, we've got a lot of social activities that are happening in cities all around us. So please make sure to subscribe to our newsletter or LinkedIn page, as we'd love for you to participate and get to know our activities through CLA more and more.
Thanks, Freddie. As I talked about at the top, we're going to have a short podcast series of six episodes. The first one will be learning a little bit about us. The next one will be focused on a really great alumnus from Cornell who's a trustee. And then our future episodes will focus on other alums, as well as Day Hall and the origin of CLA. So we're really excited about that. So on to us and our own bios. So my name is Joseph De Los Santos. I graduated from the School of Human Ecology with a Master's of Health Administration from the Sloan Program of Health Administration. I live in sunny Southern California in Long Beach, and currently work at Blue Shield of California in healthcare, where we're really trying to work to change healthcare in a way that is meaningful for our family and friends. And my focus in my work is really looking at value-based care. So looking at different ways to really tie quality of care to the way that we pay. With that, I'll pass it to Ketty.
Thanks, Joseph. So I had the honor and privilege of serving on the Board of Trustees for Cornell as a student elected representative back in the day. And I was otherwise involved in student politics while on campus. I was with the School of Industrial and Labor Relations, but really benefited from the opportunity of taking advantage of this idea of any study by taking courses throughout all of Cornell campus during my time on the Hill. Since graduating from Cornell, I've been an executive vice president, a senior vice president, and a VP of several international PR marketing and communication agencies. And over the years, I've also led the digital efforts for top-tier global agencies. My background includes work with several companies, charitable foundations, nonprofits, the U.S. government, and foreign governments. And my commentary has been featured in the Wall Street Journal, HITN, PBS, CNN, NPR, Televisa, and Univision. And though most of my work has been in the United States and Latin America, I've also done work in Canada, Asia, Africa, and Europe. Over the years, my work took me to Ethiopia, where I did a stint with the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa. And I lived in China for 3 years, working at a university and then helping people immigrate to Canada. I've also started a couple of nonprofits over the years. And in 2003, I directed the Latino Outreach for a presidential campaign. I'm super excited to be here today with both Joseph and Freddie. And with that, I will pass it over to my colleague, Freddie.
Kathy, thank you so much. Again, it's really a pleasure to be with you all today. My name is Freddie Terras Escamilla. I have the pleasure of serving as an at-large board member for SELA. I also serve on Mosaic. I serve on the Sloan Development Committee. I serve as a CAN member, and then I also serve as the vice president of the North Florida chapter of the Cornell Alumni Association. One of the things that I've been really proud of in my career is being able to serve for organizations that are looking forward for what we need to provide for patients, communities, and participants of the healthcare industry across the world. In my current role, I serve as a chief strategist to the Comprehensive Cancer Center at the Mayo Clinic. I currently live in Jacksonville, Florida, but I travel quite a bit for my job, which allows me to see not just the great work that we do across this country, but really what we're trying to advance as an institution. As a Latino of Mexican descent, I was born and raised in Chicago. I spent the early years of my life really trying to determine the impact that I could provide, as my parents are both immigrants from Mexico. I had the pleasure of attending university in Milwaukee. I spent about 5 years working in and out of different instances of consulting, recruitment, and network management. Spent 2 years in the Peace Corps in Nicaragua, and that's really what took me to Cornell, where I was able to be a classmate and colleagues of Joe's in the Sloan Program in Health Administration, where I graduated in 2019 and then joined the Mayo Clinic at that time.
Awesome. I was such accomplished co-host with everything and really excited to explore this podcast on Fresh from the Hill with each of you. So I think I'll start off with our first question for each of you to go through. How did you choose Cornell for your university?
I actually am from upstate New York, born and bred in the backyard of Cornell. I'm less than 2 hours away from Cornell University. So I'm from Rochester, New York, daughter of immigrants as well. Father's from Mexico and mother from Guatemala. And so to me, Cornell just was, it seemed like just such an extraordinary place, a place of tremendous learning. As someone who was the daughter of immigrants, when I got into the university, I had applied other places, but when I got into the university, not only was it a clear choice for myself, but it was a clear choice for my father. And so he was very clear that he was super excited and shared with all his friends at the time and that his daughter was going to be able to go to Cornell University because, you know, it was a very big deal, a big deal for him in general. And again, he recently passed, and so these memories are very precious to me, just his happiness and his love for Cornell. And then also specifically, you know, with me being a Latina and us to be able to have the opportunity to be at this extraordinary Ivy League university. So that's kind of how I ended up at Cornell.
Thanks. My dad also said, you know, Cornell is Cornell when I was looking. So definitely could feel that. How about you, Freddie?
Thanks, Joe. You know, my path was an interesting one to how I got to Cornell and to Ithaca. So for those of you that don't know, Joe is from Southern California, currently lives, you know, pretty close to the sunny beaches of Los Angeles. And the decision was, for me, was between the University of Southern California and Cornell. And when I applied to grad school, I was actually in Nicaragua serving as a Peace Corps volunteer, took my GRE in Nicaragua, did all my interviews down there. And for anyone who's ever tried to access the Wi-Fi in a Central American country, it's not always the easiest. But there was something so incredibly special about the admissions committee, the people that I spoke to, the alumni, that I really couldn't feel anywhere else. I took recruiting visits at USC. I did the whole stint with Pasadena, saw the Heisman trophies. And as cool as that was, it really didn't match to the feeling that I got in Ithaca. So for me, it was understanding that, you know, the son of immigrants who had done everything to get their position in this country and really advance what was important for them, to be able to go to an Ivy League institution where I would be able to spend 2 years and advance my, not just education, but my personal development, felt really special. And I think after I met all the alumni, after I connected with my current class, and then after I had the opportunity to just think about what this impact would be on my life, it was a no-brainer. And I think I feel incredibly lucky to be able to sit and speak on the other side, knowing that I serve on many boards. I spend a lot of time mentoring a lot of young students coming out of the institution. And there's nothing else I'd rather do, because I really think that the gift that Cornell gives you is an everlasting gift that goes on throughout life.
Thank you so much, Freddie. I'm sure that Wi-Fi was pretty tough and weren't doing much video while you're there. In terms of my decision for Cornell, you know, I looked at, as Freddie said, I come from Southern California, born and raised, born in LA, grew up in Orange County. But I was really looking at opportunities to really grow and learn as much as I can. And when looking at all the different institutions that I was able to get into, Cornell really stood out because of that motto that Ketty talked about earlier, about any study, any person. I was really interested into a multidisciplinary kind of learning opportunity. So the access to all the different schools to really supplement the education that I could get was really important for me. So when I was looking at different places, you know, they didn't really have that. And I think being at Cornell, access to students, professionals and the professors as well, it really stood out and it was really bar none. And, you know, I was definitely a little scared of, you know, how was I going to survive in the snow? But I knew I was going to be better off than my brother was, because my brother went to Purdue for his PhD. And I was just, and, you know, I knew it wasn't that cold. And also I had family in New York, you know, like every, you know, part Dominican. I'm half Puerto Rican, half Dominican. I have family that's in Patterson, and I have family that's in the Bronx. So I felt like, you know, if anything goes wrong, you know, New York City is only, you know, 4 hours away. So I could always go leak out there. So, but for me, it was a really great opportunity, and I was able to really take advantage of everything that Cornell could offer. And it was really wonderful. So now,
you know, we'll if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have to put you on the spot for a little bit. So for our listeners, Joe is one of the best people I know in the world. One of my best friends. But this man would go to class in shorts in the snow until this day. I still don't understand how he didn't catch some kind of cold disease. But to his credit, you know, he weathered through it, and he was a trooper. But I literally saw him wear shorts to class on the coldest of days.
You know, I had my
California, but.
I had my head somewhat in the clouds, and I had a very good coat. That was the main way I survived, was having that really good coat, because they closed down campus for the first time in 30 years because of how cold it was. I remember. I don't know if you remember that for our first year, Freddie, when that happened, but that was pretty nuts.
I absolutely do. And I was not outside. I was at home.
Not in shorts.
Yes. So let's go to our next question for each of you. What do you do today? You know, Freddie, you said quite a laundry list of different committees and groups that you're part of. But how about you, Keddie? What are you focusing on today, and what are you building towards?
Yeah. So with this question of what do you do today, I really took it on as, you know, kind of what am I dedicating my life to at present. And so I'm a writer right now, and I'm writing two books about Cornell. You know, as both of you had shared your stories about Cornell and your love for it, I hear love, right? And as you're talking about your experience with Cornell and the continued contributions and volunteerism that you're doing with it. And, you know, for me, my life really did become inextricably tied to Cornell since I arrived at the age of 17 on campus many moons ago. And so, to me, these two books about Cornell are equally important. As one of less than a dozen Latino trustees in the history of Cornell, I'm writing a book that shares our story. And then the counterpart to that is the second book that I'm writing about Cornell, which is about the 1993 Day Hall sit-in, more popularly known as the Day Hall takeover. And I think this is so important because stories disappear. And as those of us that were in the Day Hall takeover in 1993 get older, the stories will disappear with us when we're no longer in this world. And so just feel really blessed and grateful that I'm able to work with Cornell in order to capture both of these stories in these books over the course of the next year. And then the last book that I'm writing is about my father, who I had shared proudly, Mexicano, viva Mexico. You know, he was just an incredible force in my life, as you know, I had shared early on in the podcast. And he passed in 2020 during the pandemic, when we moved actually back to Rochester, New York, from Florida, where we were for a while. And he started writing his own memoir. He has a fascinating trajectory. He was just an incredible soul who really tried to make a difference in many communities, first in Mexico, and then when he came to the United States to start his PhD at Fordham, and then here in Rochester. And he passed away before finishing his memoir. And so my third book is tackling his story so that his story doesn't disappear, but we have it for posterity as well. And so that's right now what I am focusing my efforts on. Again, I think that really all we can do, our time in this world is finite. We don't know how long we have. And so us making a contribution with the time that we have is critical. And so these are my little ways of trying to contribute, mi granito de arena, my grain of sand, to make it a better place.
That's awesome, Keddie. Thank you for doing that work. And it's really meaningful. And it'll be something that will really be a treat and a gift to future Cornellians and to your family as well. So really appreciate that great work that you're doing.
Thank you.
How about you, Freddie? What are you doing today?
Well, if I think about family and what that means for me in my life, we celebrated the birth of my first nephew this past year, and he has consumed a lot of our time and energy, and I travel a lot for work. I'm currently sitting in Rochester, Minnesota, looking out at a beautiful landscape here.
And I'm the excited. Other Rochester.
Yeah, exactly. To be able to spend some time with him this weekend. So family consumes a lot of what I do or try to spend my time with on the personal side. I've got an incredible partner, and her and I spend a lot of time just trying to live life and spend our time traveling the world. Professionally, I really do have the pleasure and the honor to work for an incredible organization where I've spent most of my adult life. Professionally, I am currently the strategic business partner for the Mayo Clinic Comprehensive Cancer Center. In this role, I get the pleasure of serving as the chief strategist to our executive director of all cancer programs across our three sites and our associate administrator. What I do in that role is really be able to set operational strategies at each of our sites, align priorities for each of our teams, ensure that we're advancing the goals and initiatives of not just the organization, but what the cancer center is trying to do, and really keep the patient as the central and focal point of everything that we do, not just within the cancer center, but for the organization. That really involves all three parts of our mission, which include our cancer education side, the clinical research we advance and the clinical practice. And I think what makes me the most energized is I was an administrative fellow within this organization. For those of you that don't know, it's a leadership training program that allows you to gain a vast experience through different rotations across the organization, and then your position to really align yourself in an area that really fits best to what you align to and what you enjoy. And I get to mentor many of the current fellows, incoming fellows, past fellows, and serve as someone who continues to pour everything they have into a program that gave everything that they had at that time to me. And we just celebrated 40 years of that program. So just someone who really tries to think about how I can split my time between my family, my partner, my work, and really my friends, and being able to spend time with all areas of those continued pieces of life. What about you, Joe?
Yeah, thanks. I work on the light side of healthcare and health insurance, as many people know. So I work at Blue Shield of California as Payment Innovation Program Manager Principal. So in this role, as I said at the top, we're really looking at ways to improve the quality of care and the experience for patients and providers by transforming the way that we pay for care. Currently, you know, the way that healthcare is paid for, it's not based on quality, it's based on volume of services. So our work is really trying to deliver outcomes for our members. And I joined Blue Shield in a similar program to Freddie's. It's called the Shield Emerging Leaders Program, where we had rotations throughout different areas of the company. So was able to really explore all areas of the company before landing in this position where I'm at today. Similar to Freddie, I also have a couple little nephews, little sobrinitos who are running around. I have one who's in New York, who will be one by the time this drops, and another nephew who's two, and a third that should be coming, or should already be here by now, actually, by the time that this podcast comes out. So really excited to be very close to family. My brother and sister-in-law live about 8 minutes away from me here in Long Beach. So one of the reasons that I came here was to be close. And my folks are in Orange County, just about a half hour away. So I just want to be here and be supportive to them, you know, as they're growing. So that's something that's been really meaningful in terms of other things. Very kind of active in work in terms of building relationships with different providers, or work as a community mentor for a young faculty member who's out at CHLA. Also look at opportunities to do mentorship in terms of startups as well as giving back through different organizations like Family House up in San Francisco. So very active in terms of volunteering, as well as with my program at Cornell, the Sloan Program of Health Administration. Very proud and very happy to be connected with that network and to support current students and recent alums in any way, you know, we can do possible. So it's been great seeing the growth. There's more Sloanies who are coming to Southern California, so it's been really exciting, and looking to do events with them as well as, you know, the events that we have going with CELA, you know, as an at-large member. So I think there's just no shortage of opportunities and growth. So it's been really fun. So I'll leave our last question. And this is a question that we're going to ask to all of our alumni interviewees, which is, what is your advice to current students?
Yeah. So Joseph and Freddie, you both spoke a lot about family. And I think my advice to current students, a big piece of it would be tied to family and family, both, you know, the family that one considers one's family, and that's defined in so many different ways by people, but those who are closest to one, who are supportive of one, who help generate who one is in the world, right? And supportive of who one is in the world. And I need to give a shout out to my family as well. Since we're on that track, I'll just share. I was really blessed by marrying an extraordinary man by the name of Richard McCarson. And he's been super supportive in the professional trajectory and in all the volunteerism. And I think that's so important to find someone that is supportive of you and that is a great partner and believes in you and what you're up to in the world. I'm also very blessed to have four sons. I have a 26-year-old, a 19-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And the 9-year-olds and the 7-year-olds have a combination of my husband and my last names. So we kind of took the Latino tradition of the two last names, but we flipped it because my husband wanted his last name to be the last one. So my little ones, my 9-year-old and my 7-year-old, are Esquivel McCarsons. So they're Guatemalan, Mexican, Irish boys. And I think my advice to students would be that in the mix of life and pursuing one's dreams, to not lose the importance of those personal connections, be it familial ties by blood or the family, even that you have in your friends and those who you meet at Cornell, who in some cases will be friends for life. Joe, I was just telling you about my best friend from Cornell, Mari Carmen, and she, you know, now has been living all over the world and she's still like a sister to me. And I think going to Cornell, I never would have thought that that was one of the biggest gifts that Cornell would have given me, but it truly was the people that I met there and the friendships that in some cases became like family. On a more pragmatic note, I would say my advice to students would be to never give up, to have a growth mindset. And so what that means is, you know, failure, if you're up to things in the world, is inevitable. It's what you do when you're faced with that failure that will determine what your life will look like in the end. And so a growth mindset would be to look at those failures as an opportunity for growth and figuring out, okay, so this didn't work. What next? Where to from here? Also, my advice would be to be tenacious, to know that you belong. Contribute your granito de arena, your grain of sand, because we never know how long we have in this world. We're here but for a moment, so make it count.
That's great, Keti. How about you, Freddie?
Thanks, Joseph. I think when you look at an institution like the one that we're all very proud and thankful and gracious to be a part of, you have to think about what came before us. You have nearly 160 years of history that is esteemed in the highest levels of society. And you have to think to yourself, what does that mean for me in 2023, 2024, many, many years from the days that Ezra Cornell decided that this was an institution that should be founded? I think the first piece of advice that I would give is you have to take advantage of the situation you are provided. Cornell is one of the few institutions where you are able to take any class and any study across the entire campus, and it doesn't charge you more, it doesn't impede you, and it actually encourages you to take that action. And I would say, please do, because some of the best experiences you will have is crossing outside of your area of vocation and study and learning something that is peripherally, if not completely outside of what you want to do with your life. You will be fully appreciative down the road. As I think about some of the things that Keti has said, your ability to go through the process of being a freshman, being a graduate student, being a new person in a new place, walking across those bridges when it's icy, and thinking about how you study for prelims, there is adversity in each one of those challenges. And what prevails you and allows you to advance is a lot of what Keti said, is how do you rise again after the day gets tough and you have to wake up the very next day when you think the day will never end, when you've had the hardest of days. But in reality, when you stand in Schoolcraft Field and you hear your name called and you advance, and everything that you've done after, whether it's 4 years, 6 years, 2 years, or 8 years, there's a lot that comes from that adversity, that perseverance, and that grit that allows you to accomplish whatever you want in this life. And then the last part is just enjoy it, have fun. Places like Cornell are seldom, and they're not everywhere in the world. And when you have the opportunity to enrich yourself with those experiences, truly, truly experience it. To me, Ithaca is one of the most beautiful places in this country, and just upstate New York is hard to beat, especially when the leaves are changing and the hills are on fire, they like to say. It's a place that is unmatched. And that's as someone who grew up in Chicago and now lives in Florida. There's something very ethereal that I love and miss about Ithaca every single day. What about you, Joe?
Thanks, Freddie. Yeah, the hills on fire have a different connotation out here in the West Coast. But I think both of you have given such great advice, and it's really difficult to think of other things to add. But I think one will be eat as much Cornell dairy ice cream as you can, because they don't sell it anywhere else. And, you know, it's unhealthy and you're young, so you'll be okay. But on a serious note, I think really trying to take advantage of all the resources that Cornell has. There's a number of case competitions and hackathons that occur on campus and off campus. You have opportunities to develop your own consulting project. I was able to do a couple of those. And really, Cornell, you know, if you pose it things in the right way, you're able to do pretty much, you know, whatever you'd like to do. So I think use your power as a student to really explore anything that you're interested in, and also speak with anyone, you know, who is an alum of the university, who has any type of connection with the university. I think that's a bit of a superpower that once you hit the workforce, it's a little bit more difficult to connect with people. But as a student, you could really talk to anyone about anything, whether it's career or personal. People are very open to speaking with you. So I think really being open to what Cornell can provide, and to build those relationships are really, really big. And to touch on a note that Ketty talked about, I still talk almost every day with people from Cornell who graduated with me and who graduated from years before as well. And we still, you know, take vacations together, and it's really a wonderful thing to be part of this Cornell community.
Joseph, if I may, building on what you're saying, though, too, is to see the time at Cornell, and not just in the moment that they're at right now, but really see it as a lifelong relationship. And, you know, my Guatemalan mother, Araceli, would not be happy if I didn't put in this plug about being of service, right? Also seeing where you can be of service to others at Cornell, and also in the community of Ithaca. Because Cornell is a part of that community as well.
Thank you so much, Ketty. And I think on that note, I hope all of you have a great day. And please be on the lookout for the Fresh from the Hill podcast with the series from Sela. So you could get it anywhere that you get podcasts. So on Apple, on Spotify, please be on the lookout. Thank you so much.